welcome to Wise Lives Season 2. My name's Charlotte and I'm a minister at the Well Church in Sheffield. I've recently been ordained. I became a Rev back in October and I'm here with my good friend Ben.
Hello everyone, my name is Ben Jones. I am a Baptist minister in training here at the Well in Sheffield as well. And I'm just about to complete my ministerial training this year and also my master's degree. And I'll be ordained on the 7th of July, Charlotte. Can you believe it?
Exciting. Date in the diary.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Very excited to be here to talk about being an MIT over this kind of course and of 3 years. Both Charlotte and I have got a lot of thoughts and reflections of what we've learned and what we disagree with, what we agree with. And so that's the purpose of this Wise Lives podcast and this episode is to kind of unpack calling, unpack vocation, perhaps unpack some of our learnings and some things that maybe we might have done differently.
So we're going to start with calling. And I just want to say, if you're listening, just strap in. We're going to begin with talking from our own experience, which is obviously in a particular vein. But we're going to spend some time thinking about calling much more broadly. So yes, you will have your own experiences, which you can be kind of shouting back to us. But calling, what does it mean and what is our experience of it? Ben, what do you think of that word calling? It sounds super spiritual, doesn't it?
Almost too spiritual. I think when we talk about ministers, we always think they are the called ones, right? Mm. They are the ones that receive this special message or vocation from the Lord. And none of us, the rest of us, get to experience it. I definitely felt like that when I was younger. Where I would see these guys up on stage and preaching the word of God, they were the called ones. And I think as I've gotten older, and definitely as I've been through this kind of formational period as a minister in training, it comes down to a very basic thing. We are all called. Mm-hmm. We are all called to be ministers. We are all called to be, in the great Baptist tradition, we are the priesthood of all believers. This is not an exclusive thing. And that's one big learning point from my 3 years is that I want to empower people in any kind of calling that they have from the Lord. And that could be ministerial. That could be just being wanting to be the best dentist that you can be, to be the best baker, to be the best mechanic. But if you're doing it for the Lord, that is such a wonderful calling upon your life. And I think each one of us has that. Mm-hmm. And that's the way God has called us to be.
Absolutely. I love that phrase, priesthood of all believers, even if that sounds a bit strange, but it just means, doesn't it, that everyone gets to play when it comes to the kingdom of God. We all have a role. We all get to play our part. So I wonder if I could just share, Ben, my experience of my calling and what that looks like. I was ordained last year. As I said, the kind of journey to get to that point is several years. And I really began to feel a calling many, many years ago to be a minister, to give my whole life to Jesus in some kind of vocational way. And I remember in those early years, I was probably kind of a teenager initially. It was a little bit like Holy Spirit was like an annoying fly that would just buzz around my head and kind of remind me this sense of calling or of going forward to be ordained. And I just would swat it away because I used to think, that does not sound like fun. I like fun. I like parties. I like hanging out with people. I like just kind of being in control of my own life, making my own decisions. I just don't think that sounds like a thing that I really want to do. And as the years went on, the fly kept buzzing around me and it got louder and louder and I kept swatting, but it got to a point where it just became too loud. It was too difficult to ignore. And I had to get to that place of really listening to Jesus. And Jesus just kind of floored me with a really simple question. He just said, years and years ago, you said you were going to give your whole life to me.
Yeah.
Do you still mean it?
Wow.
Do you still mean it?
Yeah.
And what could I say apart from yes? It was absolutely yes. So I began to take it much more seriously, to explore myself with friends, with church family, with the wider church family across Yorkshire of what does this mean? Is this what God is calling me to? And then to take the steps towards stepping into training and even ordination. What's your experience, Ben? What was your call like?
Well, actually, I just want to ask you a quick question then. Mm. So with this buzzing fly, so do you think it came down to a point of obedience? Like you needed to be obedient to Jesus?
Yes, absolutely. It was definitely obedience. It was that point where I could choose to do this. I could choose to do something completely different.
Yeah.
And ultimately, I could do leadership in a Christian sense without going through these steps of ordination. That's a totally valid option as well. But for me, it was actually, this is what God is highlighting to me. And it's being obedient. It's saying, yes, I really mean it, that I'm going to give you everything, God. And if this is what you want me to do next, then this is what I'll do. And who knows what that will look like going forwards. So I think of it like stepping stones across a river. I don't even know what's at the other side, but all I need to know is this is the next stepping stone. I can see that God in his grace shows me the next stepping stone, and that's the one I'll step on. When I get there, I'll at some point see the next one, and then I'll take that step of obedience. But that's what it looks like for me, just step by step with Jesus.
Just more buzzing flies coming your way here.
I'm very good at swatting.
But I would say that's just not even in your experience. It was for becoming a minister in training, but we can have those buzzing flies in any kind of walk of life. You know, if God has called us to do something, we have the decision or the choice to do it or not do it. Mm. And I think it's just about being really soft-hearted to what the Lord is saying to us. Mm. I'm not saying that you were closed to that.
But you can say that. That's fine.
Okay. Yeah, for sure. But let me encourage you, I think with everything when it comes to the call of God upon your life, it's about having a soft heart to what the Lord is saying and where he's leading you. And that's just part of discipleship. Mm. Like that question that God asked you, if you want to give me everything, then follow me.
Yeah.
My journey into this kind of role was over a number of years. I'd felt the call of God to go into sort of pastoral ministry, or I felt the call of God into leadership, if you want to phrase it that way. I think the call into just church. I've always loved the church, grew up in church. My parents were missionaries, and I've felt that from a very young age, kind of 13, 14, of sort of being given kind of roles and leadership roles, and through my teens, and then after going away from God and then powerfully coming back into his family and coming and giving my life to him again, I've just always had that sense of I've wanted to serve the Lord and to serve people and to serve the church. And I spent a number of years in New Zealand working for a church in leadership roles, but there was no sort of, I had this kind of like, this kind of itch, I suppose, that I couldn't quite scratch. And I was asking the Lord, because I was part of an independent Pentecostal church, there was no sort of natural pathway into ordination. And I didn't think that I needed to be a rev per se, but there was something about ordination and taking that time of formation that I really felt I was missing. And as circumstance happened, I moved back to the UK, and I met my now wife, who has been a part of the Well ever since it started 8 years ago. Mm. And then there was that kind of progression into Baptist leadership, into Baptist ministry formation, and it's honestly been like a light bulb for me. It's been so wonderful to learn from so many different types of people, to learn about the Baptist tradition. I love our sense of covenanted community, the way that we are covenanted together as believers, that, as Charlotte said before, everyone gets to play. Mm. It's very egalitarian, sort of non-hierarchical, and that really resonates with my values and priorities around church. Yeah, so that's how I got here. I'm very grateful for it. I really love it. I love being a part of the YBA, the Yorkshire Baptist Association, being part of the union. I love that I get to serve with very like-minded people in terms of their values and priorities around church. There are no superstars here. I always have this thing about, stop trying to make Christian celebrities. That's not what we're about at all, but just local church ministry, ministering to people where they are. What are we talking about next?
I was just thinking, let's take a zoom out for a moment, Ben, because we've talked a lot about church leadership, we've talked about ordination, and there'll be some listeners who can totally identify with that, or perhaps are beginning to hear that annoying buzz of the fly. But there'll be many people for whom that isn't what they're called to. And like we've said, everyone gets to play in the kingdom of God. This is not exclusive. Ben and I are both married to people who work outside the church. My husband works in the finance industry. Ben, what does your wife do?
She works for a charity. She's a volunteer manager.
And even last night, I remember being around the dinner table with someone who works in the hospitality industry, and just great conversations about what does calling look like in their lives, in everyone's lives, in everyday kind of situations where it isn't perhaps as obvious as I work in a church.
Yeah,
but actually, right. We're all called, and we're all called to worship God, and we're all called to make disciples. And we can do that in whatever industry we work within. That's our calling. And it might look like transforming the culture that we work in. It might look like doing good for the people that we serve through our workplace.
Yeah.
And it might look like sharing Jesus as appropriate with the people around us, our colleagues, or the people that we come into contact with every day. Actually, everybody is called, and everybody has a chance to discern, to listen to what God might be saying to them. And I just thought I might share, if it's okay, one thing that I think is really helpful. If you're thinking, really? Am I called? What on earth does that look like in my life? Because it feels so huge. Well, the word vocation actually comes from the Latin word vocare, which means to call. And it's associated with the word vox, which means voice. And I once heard someone say that one of the best ways to understand your vocation is to let your life speak. As if your life would have a voice. Listen,
yeah, I like that.
Let your life speak. So look at your life. Where are you? Who is around you? What do you love doing? What stirs your heart?
Yes.
What makes you angry? What
That's
makes
right.
you happy? God has put all those things inside you. God has put all of those things around you. And so take a moment to listen. Let your life speak. Let God speak through your life. And I think that is just a really easy way for us to think about vocation, calling, and recognize we can all do this. We all are called in some way.
I think one of the best ways I ever heard it put was, there's a reason why you like and dislike what you like and dislike, right?
Mm.
That God has molded you and shaped you into the person that you are. Now, there are certain desires that you have. There are certain things that you're good at, certain things that you're drawn to, because each one of us is so, so unique. And so I come down to something that Charlotte just mentioned before about worship, mm-hmm. and like worshiping as work. And, you know, as soon as we start to give back to God what he has given to us in terms of our abilities, in terms of our talents, as soon as we turn those and say, okay, as a mental thing, okay, Lord, I choose to give these skills and these talents back to you. That, my friends, is worship. That is the very definition of worship. So you can be the best baker, the best mechanic, whatever. I keep using those examples, but it's the only ones that come to mind right now.
We love bread and we need our cars.
Yeah. Amen. It's good. That's not an accident. You know, when you give those things back to the Lord and to build his kingdom, whether that's through discipling, you know, someone at your work, or sharing the gospel with them, or showing love and compassion and pursuing justice in life, then that is worship. And I think God smiles upon that. And again, it's that whole demystification thing. I know that we're sort of talking within a niche aspect of being a reverend and a minister in training, but I want to just really highlight that it's all worship.
Mm.
It's all worship. It's all for the betterment of the and pursuing the kingdom and to building the body of Christ together, because that is the purpose of church.
Work is worship.
It is.
And that's relevant for all of us. Absolutely. Let's have a moment then, Ben. I want us to kind of lift the lid on being a minister, okay? Listeners, you get some BTS behind the scenes
all the details
right now. So Ben, you're a minister, which means you work one day a week, right?
Less than that, actually. Just a Sunday morning and a Sunday evening, hey?
And that's honestly, some people think that. But what does a minister do, Ben? There's more to it than that, surely. Give us a kind of behind the scenes, lift the lid on your week as a minister in training.
Yeah, sure. So I'll just speak from my role currently here at The Well. So I currently oversee the 20s and 30s ministry. Also look after baptisms. My wife and I, we lead a community. Also the gatherings coordinator. So I kind of... It's funny, you come to church on a Sunday and you think, oh, that was really slick, or everything went really well, or that, you know, that person did that thing in the right time, or, you know, the lyrics all came up on screen. It all takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of coordination. And, you know, that's just part and parcel of being a minister. Sometimes you need to facilitate the Sunday gathering, for example. So there's a lot of admin sometimes. It's just a lot of coordinating volunteers and the wonderful people that serve at The Well. And to shout out to all our volunteers. You guys are incredible.
Absolutely.
I'm incredibly grateful for you. So yeah, that's my role sort of week to week. It also incorporates a discipleship of spending time with people, of reading the Bible with others. I think sometimes the misconception of a minister or a reverend means that we have all the answers. We rarely have the answer. We can sometimes share from our experience. Also, people can assume that we're counselors or we're therapists. We're not that either. But we do endeavor to listen. Mm-hmm. We want to listen to you. We want to hear you. I think what I've learned over the last kind of 9-10 years of ministry is that actually we want to help people see their lives through the lens of scripture.
Yeah.
to apply the scriptures to their life, because this is the holy, inspired, living word of God that speaks to us daily. You know, there's not a day that goes by that when I don't read my Bible, that there's something that is revealed to me from the Father through the Holy Spirit and through his living word. I think that's one of the best parts of my job, is to help people see their lives or a certain situation or a certain relationship or a certain temperament or a character issue perhaps, all exists in scripture. And so that is my great privilege.
Absolutely. That's the key, isn't it, Ben, is understanding who we are in Jesus and who God is and the amazing things that he's poured into our lives. And we can do that primarily through reading the Bible.
Yes.
And we do that reading the Bible together as well. It's really powerful. I particularly love the opportunity to get to do that alongside people who have perhaps never read the Bible before or are reading it again after a long breakaway from faith or whatever their story might be, or in the depths of real struggles and real difficult situations, actually being able to open up the Bible together.
Yes.
It's, I haven't got all the answers.
Yes.
I can listen. I can help you find support that's particularly professional in certain areas if that's what you need.
Yes.
But what I can do is I can open the Bible with you and I can point you to Jesus wherever you are in your life, wherever you are on that journey.
Yeah.
And then there's all of the stuff around that, which involves lots of moving chairs, Ben, doesn't it?
Oh my gosh.
How many rooms do we need to set up?
That has been half my ministerial life, is just shifting gear or chairs. But that's fine, you know?
We mop floors, we do whatever needs to be done. The life of a minister is varied indeed.
Can I tell you something that I find really difficult?
Yes.
I think previously, before coming to the Well, and something that actually our senior minister Nick really helped me with, he would kind of describe it, or maybe the way that I've understood it, is like playing the role of a minister. I'm not saying in a false kind of way or a false dichotomy, but sometimes, say for example, on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening, people might gravitate to you because you are the minister, and they all come and tell you all sorts of stuff that's happening in their life. It can range from, I just broke up with my fiance and I'm in absolute pieces, or, you know, my grandfather's just died, or, you know, I've just got engaged, you know, lots of celebration. And I found that really difficult over the years to sort of shift emotional gear in a very short space of time before a gathering, or even after a gathering. It left me, as an introvert, very drained sometimes. Am I built for this? Like, do I have the emotional capacity to deal with so many different types of problems, I think, or something that I've never experienced? Can I speak into that? And Nick really helped me understand, sometimes on a Sunday, and this is just my experience, you just need to play that role, and you don't necessarily have to pick it all up right there and then, or that emotional kind of weight. You can kind of pause and maybe see that person in the week. I think sometimes that maybe comes from my personality of wanting to help people right there and then. And that's just something I've had to learn, I think, and a big skill that I've had to kind of hone as a minister. And sometimes it can just be really draining, church on a Sunday. Sometimes if I'm more energized, it's a lot easier. But yeah, that's something I found really hard. But I hopefully will get better at it. And that's the whole thing about this kind of job, I guess, is that there are lots of different emotional skills that you need to kind of learn.
Yeah, it's such a privilege, isn't it? The kind of things that people are willing
yes,
to share.
That is true.
And to talk to you about and to ask you to listen is incredible, and the range of things is amazing, and it is such a privilege. Let us not take that for granted. It is such a privilege that people would want to do that and would want to ask us to help point them to scripture in the midst of whatever it is that's going on. But you're absolutely right, Ben, whether it's on a Sunday, whether it's during the week, often you don't even know what people are going to share with you.
Yeah.
And it can be a real kind of adjustment from one thing to the next, like a jerking between, I've just been on stage, that was terrifying in front of loads of people.
Yeah, that's right.
I now get off and I feel such relief, and then someone pours this huge thing on me and I think, gosh, that's absolutely awful, how could that happen to anybody? And then I turn around and someone says, I'm having a baby, and you're like, yay. In the midst of everything else that's going on in your mind, it's absolutely that. And we don't often know from one thing to the next, but it's like any calling, I think. We just trust Jesus.
Yes.
We trusted him this far. We were obedient to get to this point. And we might often feel like we are totally out of our depth and we do not know how to navigate the waters. But Jesus did. Jesus knew how to calm any storm. And Jesus knew how to guide his disciples then. He knows how to guide us now. And I think that's it. It's just continuing to be obedient and to let him be the guide as we do whatever it is that we're called to do.
Can I just ask you one thing? What's the most embarrassing thing that's happened to you as at MIT, even though that you're a rev now and a professional?
You go first.
I'll go first. Okay. So I had this in the chamber. So when I first joined the well, I had previously...
I love this story.
I previously was a church in New Zealand and a place called Hamilton in the North Island at a church called Gateway. I'd been there for about 7-8 years, led the young adults ministry and hosted our gatherings quite often, played in the worship team, etc. And so I think it was the third or fourth time I ever hosted at the well. I was with the other student worker at the time, and we were on stage, and we got to the point in our gathering where we were giving the kind of call and message around giving, around tithing. I get up on stage, I'm feeling pretty confident. I've done my intro really well. I'm feeling kind of nervous because it's third or fourth time I've ever done this. I said, guys, here... this is at the well. Here at Gateway, we love to give. We are a discipleship culture here at Gateway. We just believe that tithing and giving of finance is a real point of worship. And in the front row, our senior minister Nick and the associate minister Toby were just going, no, it's the well, and kept like shouting at me, and I couldn't hear it because the lights were on me. I couldn't quite clap, and I had to get nudged by someone to say, oh, we're here at the well, not Gateway. I was so embarrassed, but I heard that Gateway actually got an uptick in tithing that week, so. I mean, I always have like the utmost respect for anybody who leads or hosts at the front, because it's sometimes, if it doesn't come naturally to you, it can be very daunting, and especially when you embarrass yourself like me.
Absolutely. I'm rubbish at funny stories, so I'm afraid mine isn't going to be in that vein, but mine would be the same. I think it would be that getting up in front of people. We're learning, I think, is the main thing, that we're continuing to learn. And I remember in the early days of training, kind of holding the microphone, getting really confident, getting ready to get on stage after I thought the worship was about to kind of finish. And the worship leader was obviously aware of something that God was doing in the room that I was not aware of, because I was so focused on what I had to do next. And I had to say this and I had to say this.
Yeah.
And they just did the next song. They carried on. They avoided eye contact with me. They carried on. And I was awkwardly standing there with this microphone, like, but I really thought I was meant to be moving into whatever was the next thing. And I think it's just that humility to recognize I do not have all of the answers. I don't always get it right. I'm still learning. Right. It's an art form, isn't it? It's not a skill. It's not, you do this, then you do this. We're constantly listening to Holy Spirit during our gathered times together. We're following His lead. It's what God wants to do. It's not what we've got pre-planned necessarily. And we have to put all of our pride to one side often as well.
Even though we both love planning, we both love structure. That thing that's been a big thing for both of us is like, how do we listen to Holy Spirit here? If we say, Holy Spirit, have your way in this meeting, it can't be structure sometimes.
I find that hard.
So final thoughts.
Final thoughts from me would be that whatever you're called to do, there will be sacrifice required.
Yeah.
And whether that's your pride, whether that's your time, whether that's your control even over your life or what you thought was your plans and the things that were going to happen into your future, that actually there will always be sacrifice. When we're followers of Jesus, that is just part and parcel of the ride. But Jesus said that it's actually when you lose your life that you will find it.
Yeah, that's good.
And so there is sacrifice, absolutely. And sometimes that is huge, and sometimes that's just the small things, but there is always life. I could do a 4-hour version of the podcast where I just told you all of the stories of life that I've experienced over this period of training and since being ordained as a minister. Yes, there's sacrifice. Yes, I have to let people into my home and into my family, into my life. But there is such life and there is such joy as I see people becoming disciples, becoming deeper disciples, and just recognizing their own call and their own purpose and being willing to throw themselves wholeheartedly into following Jesus.
Yeah, it's good, mate. I think I'll just kind of tack on to one of the things you said about opening your home. I'll just say this from purely a kind of minister in training or minister's kind of point of view, because I've seen this in not only in my own life, but in the lives of other ministers that I deeply respect in my parents' life. Your life sometimes becomes like a goldfish bowl. Like, people want to look in and see how you live your life. And there is an element of you know, a minister walking out that really high level of discipleship close to Jesus, you know, listening to him and having the theology and reading the scriptures and all that kind of stuff and understanding the word and how to live the Christian life. That's quite daunting. I wouldn't say that it's easy. It is a bit daunting. Well, it's a huge element of sacrifice and vulnerability to give of yourself to others, yeah, to have them in your home, to let them see you as you are, you know, kind of raw in that. It's kind of like highly glossed, shiny kind of person at the front. You know, we all come with our foibles. We all come with our insecurities, with our sin. Oh my gosh. And yeah, it's tough. But I think God's grace is sufficient for us. God's grace empowers us to do the things that we're humanly not able to do. And I give God the glory for bringing us both this far, because we wouldn't be here without his grace. So yeah, thank you so much for listening. I hope it's been encouraging. I hope it's made sense. yeah, it's been a real pleasure to chat with Charlotte about this stuff and to chat with you guys as well. So God bless you. It's goodbye from me.
And from me. Bless you.
Goodbye. Bye. To you all. Bye.